This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Queen Charlotte, the official podcast, is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. Hello. And a warm, warm, warm welcome to Queen Charlotte, a Bridgerton Story, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and on this episode, I am thrilled to share two conversations with you. I got to spend some time with the two remarkable queens that brought to life one of the most captivating and influential characters of the Bridgerverse, Queen Charlotte. It is an absolute pleasure to delve into the world of these talented actresses who have masterfully embodied this enigmatic, you know, leaving audiences spellbound with their performance, over-the-top, bodacious queen, Queen Charlotte. It's an honor to have them with us, and we can't wait to hear their insight, their experiences, and the shimmering brilliance that they bring to screen. So let's just get right on in.
Welcome, India. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me.
It's really good to have you. I just wanted to start off by saying you absolutely exude a swan-like essence of a young Queen Charlotte.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. I think she's probably ingrained in me for like another 10 years or so. But yeah, that I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, so you had to walk into a room for how many days as like the centerpiece and holding up so much of the story and the scenes. How does that inform you of yourself? Did you surprise yourself in any way? Are you more brazen than you thought you ever were?
I think she taught me a lot. She taught me about just being okay with emotions and being okay with not being okay, and actually normalizing the fact that not everyone feels 100% all the time. And you know, in those moments when she is dancing and she's moving, it's incredibly surreal for her, I think, and it's probably all very too much, which I as India can get very overwhelmed by large crowds and large groups of people, especially when there's attention only on you. But, you know, the fact that she kind of defies those feelings and pushes against it, and great outcomes come from that, kind of taught me that, hey, okay, you may be feeling uncomfortable in said situation, but push through it. And only greatness can come from working outside of your comfort zone, which I'm notorious for staying in, because she's nice and safe and comfortable and I like her. But I don't feel like I've made significant changes to my life and just me as a person from stepping outside of my comfort zone. And this job was one of them, I think. There aren't many jobs that are as scary to take on as this in all the spectrums, you know, the most amazing feeling to the most terrifying feeling of like taking on this massive role. It just showed me that I should continue to push outside of my little circle of safety.
Yeah. You said something that's interesting. You said that emotions are okay. What
yes.
do you mean by that?
I don't know. I had a very weird feeling whenever I felt a huge sense of any type of emotion, whether that's a complete enjoyment, terror, horror, being nervous, being afraid, being scared. I always kind of masked that and I didn't really realize that I did that. And I guess that influenced my acting because it meant that I wasn't able to open up. I wasn't able to explore these emotions to create another person, let alone, you know, reflect on my own experiences, feeling certain feelings. But with Charlotte and with this job, I was with her for 6 months. I was creating a whole person. I had to know exactly how she felt in all situations, what nerves felt like to her and how she displayed that, what elation felt like to her and how she displayed that. So for me, I had to feel that as India and go through that and really kind of recount on my life and those moments where I've maybe masked how I was feeling, just because I don't know, I always thought it was a bit cringe to be vulnerable or to show my emotions completely, because it does put you in a scary position of, you know, people judging you or being able to use something against you. But she made me a lot more empathic, and she made me discover that actually I am quite an emotional person. I never thought I was. I thought I was quite straight-laced and, you know, I'll just get on with things and quite, you know, have that very British mentality of, you know, just go and do your job, or just you just keep pushing through things. But actually I'm highly sensitive. And I think it's actually been beautiful. It's opened my eyes to the world. I've traveled more than I have, and I've got to meet people and really understand people and really getting to know what humans are like through getting to know her and getting to know emotion. So I feel a lot of pride and a lot of gratitude when I think about her and Shonda's writing and her work, because it's not only helped me as an actor, but as a human, which again is, you know, going to only help me in my job, be a better and more honest and open person.
There were scenes with you and Corey, you and Arsima, where I felt like I wasn't supposed to be in the room, which is, I mean, what the mark of a really good moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that and working with Corey, working with Arsima, the moments for you that felt the most freeing or light, or where you were able to just get lost in that moment.
You sit with a character for 6 months, and I think you do lose yourself in the best way, and sometimes in bad ways, because you leave a job and you go, what is my existence as India? But I felt, you know, especially towards the end of filming, so easy to access her and just to, you know, completely delve into this world. A lot of the scenes I felt I was completely kind of engrossed. And Shonda writes in a way that is almost incredibly theatrical. She makes, you know, 10-minute scenes, 6-minute scenes, which are so detailed, so intricate, and you get them and you see them on the page and you're like, right, I know this is an important scene because of this, this, and this. We've just spoken about this, we've tackled this, we need to get from here to here. And then by the end of the scene, we're completely different places. And it's about working together as a team. And especially with Corey, actually, we really, really worked hard in the evenings after filming. You know, we'd sit for a couple hours and just delve into the scenes that are coming up, and we'd make sure we were prepped and knew why we were doing the scenes, and making sure we hit every important beat and kind of quizzing each other on why the scenes are what they are.
Oh, I live for that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what awesome. A lot of, I mean, that's how we were trained. Corey was trained theatrically, I was trained theatrically, and that's how you break down a script. You annotate it, you give it a purpose, you put it into perspective of both characters, and you workshop around it, and you find out ways, and you come up with ideas of how you could do it on the day, but then also, leave it to the director's interpretation and also the energy that both of you bring on the day. But a lot of work goes into it. A lot of work goes into it, and it has to, because a lot of it isn't spoken. I think that's what's great about Shonda's writing. A lot of it is in the gestures, the eye contact, the no speaking, the silences, yes. The pauses. And those are the bits that can often be missed, but are incredibly important and, tell a lot more about how someone's feeling in that situation than words can. And I think that's the beauty of it. And I think that's why this show just, satisfies those taste buds, because it says what we're all thinking. And sometimes we're too afraid to say out loud.
One of the things I'm not sure how to explain out loud is the moment between you as Queen Charlotte and Arsima. Mm-hmm. As young Lady Agatha Danbury at this point. And she comes up to you and she's basically making a case. She's basically making a case to have the ball be thrown.
Yes.
The first ball. And it's a moment where she's teaching young Charlotte about her privilege and what responsibility she has to act with it. What was the conversation the two of you had to really dig into that scene? Because it speaks volumes today.
I don't think we actually did. I know we ran lines, again, delved into its importance, but there's something about the Black woman's experience in every culture, in Britain, in America, that one doesn't even really need to say anything. It's just an understanding, an immediate sense of I understand what this person's going through. And for some of the scenes, especially like that, for me, I didn't work a lot on them because I wanted that natural reaction to someone actually saying it out loud. Sometimes that really works. There are a couple scenes where I'm like, right, I'm gonna just pound my lines, so I'm not thinking about the lines. And most of the time, I'm just letting the other actor affect my choices. And that was one of the scenes. I knew, what I was saying, my objective was with George and what on earth he was doing. And I was going to, the head turn was when she starts talking to me about the actual pressing topics. So I used that sense of like, I don't actually know what she's going to say. I'm not going to look at what Arsema is saying that day. I'm going to let her words inform my reaction. Mm. And it was completely natural. I am Charlotte, but I'm also taking in what she's saying for the first time. There's a lot of scenes like that where I'd read and I was like, I don't want to read the other person's lines. I don't want to do that. Oh. I just want to go through that ride and that journey and find where Charlotte sits in there.
Oh, that's really interesting. I'm wondering if one of those scenes is in episode 6, young Charlotte's pregnant. She, goes to young George and she's basically asking him, what is wrong with you? And it ends in a, beautiful emotional moment. But he's hurling at you. Is that one of those scenes mm-hmm. that you, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can tell.
I do not want you. I want never to see you. Leave. Get out! I order you!
No, George.
Charlotte!
You cannot force me away. I will not go.
I command it! Go!
I will stay! I command it!
There's a way of, the first time you hear something being said out loud, you really are intent and you're really kind of interested and focused on what they're saying. That's another one. Yeah. And I think people will see now, maybe if they go and rewatch it, which hopefully they do, the scenes that you can just really tell that both people are in the room, they're present and they're thinking. They're not thinking, what's my next line? It's like, no, my intention is to you and you only. And that is a perfect example.
So let's talk about working with Tunji Kasim.
Yay.
Her brother, young Charlotte's brother, Adolphus. I absolutely love the carriage scene with the two of you.
You give the appearance of a statue.
Statues are works of art. Art is beautiful.
Art can be beautiful to gaze upon. You are ridiculous to the eye.
Is there a point?
You have not moved an inch in 6 hours.
I am wearing Lyonnais silk, encrusted with Indian sapphires, working with overlay of 200-year-old lace. Apparently too much movement can cause the sapphires to shred the lace. If that's not enough, the gown sits atop a bespoke underpinning made of whalebone.
Whalebone?
Yes. Whalebone, brother. The bones of whales. Whales died, so I could look like this. All the finest corsets are whalebone. You would know that if you knew anything.
You are dancing with the script. Actually, you're more like a kitten with a ball of yarn with the script.
Oh, I like that.
in that scene, it's someone used the words, you are still, but just still, really just effervescent with your delivery. And
oh, thank you.
I am curious about the back and forth between you and Kasim in preparation for that scene. And if we could also talk about how you stand up for that character in episode 6 when you confront Arsima as young Lady Danbury.
I mean, Tunji is one of the best people I've ever worked with. He is so experienced, so level-headed, you know, so ingrained in the work, but also up for just having a laugh. And he's incredibly intelligent, and it was an absolute joy to spend time with him. And I feel like I don't get to speak to him enough and speak about him enough, actually. But he was vital in making that scene as impactful as it is. But we did that scene all day. I think I had a very short scene in the morning with Corey. And then, we had a whole day dedicated to that scene. Again, because it's so important, and it almost as important as the meet cute. You know, you're discovering Charlotte for the first time and who she is and her relationship and the world that we're about to start building. Again, it was another scene that we just hammered the lines, like we knew them back to front. They were my audition scenes. So I'd known them for, you know, months and months and months, and it was ingrained in my soul by then. So the lines weren't a problem. It was more bringing something new and fresh to each take, because, you know, sometimes when you're saying the same thing, you can get into a bit of a rut and you have the same cadence of how you're saying anything. And it was just about breaking that mold and changing that. But that was, you know, only through Tunji's excellence and Tom's direction and everyone around us kind of each take wanting a new, fresh, you know, idea and spark. And we did so many different takes. Tunji just going completely ham, basically. And he's just like, let's completely loose. And his anger and his frustration and everything comes onto her. And then she's left kind of quite meekly in the corner going, I'm sorry. And then we did ones where he kept very level-headed and she was, you know, up here and she held the upper hand. And it was very, very interesting to go through the day and go through different types of, you know, power and differences between the pair. And then I think, you know, she realizes again, a bit like with Agatha, like there's only a certain amount of people in society that will relate to her and her experiences. And one of those people is her brother. And I think she really takes it to heart that, you know, the whole thing with Lady Danbury doesn't work out between him and her. But I think it's also a moment where she uses her power. And she realizes her power in that instant. Lady Danbury's been telling her, you're the first of your kind. You're this, you're that. And this is the first time she's kind of openly expressing it to this person who's asked her to step up to the plate. And she's like, listen, you wanted me to be this way. You were the person who wanted me to take the stance and to be strong and to lead my people. This is me leading my people and you're one of them. Don't forget that. So I think it was just, you know, a vessel almost in order for her to push that. And she does love her brother. And I think she is probably quite grateful by the end that everything kind of worked out. She is with the love of her life and it's not the ending and it's not the life that she maybe would wish for. However, she now is, you know, a figurehead in society and she's part of all this change and she's new and I think there's a lot for her to be grateful to him for.
We'll be right back with more chit-chat with India Amartifio after this short break.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
You're listening to Queen Charlotte of Bridgerton Story, the official podcast. Before we get back into our conversation with India Amartifio, let's just take a quick moment to hear this note from the casting director, Kelly Valentine Hendry.
When India's tape landed, that was one of, I'll never forget that. I mean, she is young Queen Charlotte. She is young Golda.
Since you love character deep dives, if we had to choose a moment when young Charlotte comes into her own in these six episodes, which I think we know, like, she's going to grow more over the next few decades, right? For me, it would be the moment she finds young George in the garden. And she just kind of looks down and makes a choice right there that she's choosing to stick with him and care for him. What was that moment for you?
Two. That one, for sure. Because that is her, in that split second, deciding, okay, I'm all in now. I'm not, if I wasn't before, I'm all in. I care too much about this person to let this affect my image of them. To let me not see past someone that is in need of help and that I want to be that person for them. But also the moment she locks eyes with him at the end of the altar and she's only, you know, I think she's almost expecting someone that someone to be, I don't know, intimidated, taken aback, you know, not up for it anymore. But all she sees is just adoring eyes and someone completely accepting her and accepting her in the way that she wants to be presented, in the way that she wants to be presented. And, you know, for him to be so open and to be so, inviting of someone who is bearing all, I think for her, she's like, okay, this is someone that I can trust. This is someone that can see me for me, finally, and it will accept me for me, and that I am enough as I am, even if she is more than she's a lot more than I think anyone was expecting. Well, we know, especially her mother-in-law. But yeah, those two moments, I think, just helped solidify their union.
Yeah, you completely took my breath away in that moment. I was just like, wow, this young person who's supposed to be 17 is just so completely aware of marriage and being in a committed relationship. That was really amazing. It was a really amazing moment.
It was amazing to film as well.
Yeah. Was that outside or were you guys inside and all lit for that?
We were inside and all lit, baby.
Really?
Yeah. It was what? In Oxford. We filmed in a real church. It was absolutely stunning. And yeah, the lighting and the cinematography just really came together. It was a very magical moment. We had we have a load of essays as well that day. It was like the most essays we've ever had.
Whoa. Is there anything about the last episode 6, that for you is like a full circle moment for you as a performer, as a storyteller? Is there anything that you take away from the final episode of the show?
The last scene, right? The last scene, yeah. Under the bed, I think, as an actor, as an audience member, as Charlotte looking at George, there's just, it for me, it was completely, you know, full circle. I was like, okay, this is why we've done the job. This is very, very special. I think it just showed, it's incredibly bittersweet and like such an understatement, but you know, you've just seen, you know, more than 7 hours worth of content showing that these two people are destined to be together, yet they are in such different journeys, such different headspaces, such different paths, such different places, mm-hmm. that it's heartbreaking because you know they desperately want to be together, but there's something in the way. And I feel like when there's that object in the way, it always makes things more exciting because you're always wanting to know how to get there. And, you know, we start knowing that they have a beautiful love story and that he's, you know, incredibly challenged. But we don't get the backstory, and then we see it in Queen Charlotte, and then, you know, it brings it full circle. So I think in that sense, it gives purpose, and it shows it gives the whole series purpose. It shows that this love is one for the history books and is meant to last.
Yeah.
But also, you know, for me, playing a younger character, it's not common to see an older counterpart and then to see them portray the same scene. It felt like I was seeing her future, seeing my future, which was very, very bizarre and amazing as well, to show that, you know, their love still does stand the test of time. And although he continues to descend, she can still have those glimmers. She still can have those memories and those moments with him. And I think that's what she does it for. It's those little, you know, those flickers of his presence still being there.
Yeah.
Very, very important. Apart from it being incredibly sad and making everyone blubber, yeah, including me. It was great. It was amazing. And I got to see it all happen as well. So it was very special.
Yeah, definitely a lesson in life. I really did. I took away the same thing, that you hold on to those glimmers. But that choice to love and that choice to stay and not go over the wall is my biggest takeaway from this series. I think you can apply that to so many different scenarios in work and life.
For sure.
Is there a wall that you did go over in life, in your short life? Any walls that you said, you know what? Let me get over this wall.
Let me just skip. I don't think so. I think I am quite meticulous. I'm quite a meticulous planner. And I don't usually do things I don't want to do. That is one thing my mother gave me. She didn't give me the looks. She gave me her stubbornness.
Okay.
I can be quite set in my ways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Climbing over the wall, it's like, no. No, I just try and tackle things. Problems come, I try and figure out a way to work with them rather than work against them.
A true rare jewel.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that really, really important scene until the end, which is just so powerful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is there any favorite offset rendezvous or fun that you've had with your castmates? I had a fun talk with Sam Clement and Freddie Dennis. They told me this wild story about cows.
Oh, God.
What I missed a big chunk of it, but it was so funny just because they were laughing so hard.
Okay. I'm glad they found it funny. They decided, so we hired an Airbnb, which is like a Vrbo, in a VRBO. Mm-hmm. For our last 2 weeks of filming. And I decided it was a great idea to live with the boys. My, oh my, what a decision I made. That was maybe where I should have run over the wall.
Oh.
It was great. I think there was one evening we got back really late and we were all cooking our separate dinners. Corey had made an abomination is what it was. It was rice, corn, like vegetarian meat with veg in tomato sauce.
Already
and then he got bran flakes, crushed up bran flakes, sprinkled them on top and put it in the microwave.
I'm
so sad. That was his dinner.
I'm sad.
My dinner was a potato salad. Sam had cooked a beautiful salmon, rice and veg and everything. And then Freddie wasn't eating. And I said, where is your dinner? And he said, oh, I left it in the kitchen. So I'd finished my dinner and I took my plate to the kitchen and I was trying to look for his dinner and I could smell pasta, but I couldn't see it. And I went to go and wash my hands in the sink and I looked in the sink and he had just poured his pasta into the sink and left it. Just cooked pasta in the sink. And I think he was going back to eat it, but it was just left, not in a bowl, just that like, you know, deal. In the plug hole with all the soap. And I took a picture and it was fantastic. But that was an interesting evening. I think we were delirious. We'd been filming night shoots. So I'll give him a brief, you know, I'll let him rest. But that was crazy. I do have to admit that was nuts.
Well, it's really nice that you all had time to just connect away from it all for a little bit.
That's cool.
And to build a rapport and
mm-hmm.
yeah. I think that the number one thing over the last few years in hearing about life on set with Bridgerton and Queen Charlotte is that it's always centered around food. Like where are we going to get some food and the good times around a good meal? Did you have any kinds of conversations that were very eye-opening that you were able to take back with you that have really just stuck with you away from working on the show, during the show?
Just to enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. Yeah, which is, you know, a lot easier said than done when you're traveling and you've got to make certain deadlines and you've got this and that and you're meeting people. But actually just to take a breather and sit back and take it all in and just go, wow, okay, we really did something really cool here. And
yeah.
To enjoy all the pros that come with it. And I need to remember to do that more often.
Yeah.
For sure.
Do you have any last thoughts about working on the show, working with your castmates?
Not really, just that I've had a really amazing time. And I hope people continue to watch the show and to love it as much as we did making it.
We're all going to go binge it again.
Yeah.
Thank you, India.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to refresh my tea. You should do the same. We're going to speak with Golda Rochevelle. So come right back after this break.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
We're back with Queen Charlotte of Bridgerton Story, the official podcast. And we're talking to Golda Rochevelle, who's here today to talk about reprising her role in Queen Charlotte of Bridgerton Story.
Hey, girl.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good, babe. Very, very good. Good to talk.
It's so good to talk with you. I still revisit our last conversation for sustenance.
Yeah.
Provisions.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. And
was that one with Adjoa? That was the last one with Adjoa, wasn't it? Yeah, cool.
Yes.
That was a couple of years ago now.
It was. A whole lot of life and work has happened since then.
That's true talk.
Yeah. Back then, I don't know if you knew that there were big plans for your character. Did you know?
No.
Did you have any inkling?
Had no idea. Had no idea, you know. I don't know. You just kind of, I don't know. My life has just been, you know, chugging along, doing the work. And being really happy with that, you know. I love to work, like, you know, my profession. I adore it. Mm. I adore the, you know, the kind of investigation of characters and humanity and how we are. And I think, you know, maybe I've said this to you before, but I've definitely said this in interviews before, is that I really truly believe that an actor's superpower is empathy.
Yeah.
You know, so I love to find that within my characters. So the work becomes really something that I'm really passionate about and that I really advocate for these characters. So Charlotte was no different for me, you know. I worked on her. I developed her. I really cherished our journey together in creation, in bringing her to life, in bringing, you know, Shonda Rhimes, Chris Van Dusen, you know, if we're talking about right at the beginning, you know, their vision, and even like Julia Quinn and her world, and bringing that to life within this character that had been placed into her world, you know. So cut to Shonda Rhimes going, yeah, we'd like to do a spin-off of your character. I mean, that's like, when you put that amount of work in and you really care about what you do and how you want to do it, it's a real dream come true, you know, and a real kind of validation of me as an artist, you know, and what I dedicate to do every single day. I walk hand in hand with these characters.
Yeah. Yeah. When you say validation, I don't think of like, oh, she's finally getting like her flowers. Yeah. Because if you know, you know. If you know Golda, you know Golda. Like you.
Yeah, but I think there's always, you know, ask any actor. There's always wobbles and imposter syndrome and, you know, am I worthy of this? Is it right? That's it's part of being an actor, that insecurity, you know? So there's always that of going, am I doing it justice? Am I doing the writing justice? Am I doing the character justice? You know?
Right.
So that's what I mean in terms of validation. It's like, yeah, okay, great. I've done an okay job, I think. Yeah, this seems as though it's going really well.
I was wondering if you found yourself exploring Charlotte any differently, or if you thought of her any differently with this, like you said, cut to we're doing a whole deep dive. Did you have to reshuffle some thoughts you had originally?
No, I didn't. If anything, it was the other way around. It was really kind of collecting the information that was then given to me, you know? Because when you work on a character and you don't have the physical representations of that backstory, it's always there. You work on it. So, you know, for Charlotte, she had, in my mind, she had her family, she had her children. There was a life, there was stuff going on behind the scenes of Bridgerton, of all the balls and the presentations and the tea parties. There was stuff there, but I kind of describe it as it's kind of in the darkness, you know, and Shonda Rhimes brought it all into the light.
Yeah.
You know, but it's always been there, but now it's physicalized. The imagination has been physicalized through Shonda's writing.
It does feel like her writing sometimes and your performance are just, I mean, this sounds so like obvious, right? But it's just like hand in hand.
Yeah.
But I wonder sometimes if something that she kind of built into Charlotte was inspired by maybe a way you twisted your mouth in season two or something like that, you know, like that made her think, oh, she's, you know, she doesn't like strawberries because George.
No, yeah, exactly. I'm sure there's an element of that within a writer, you know, because of the originator is still there and still living and breathing the character. Shonda is so good, as you say, joining me and the character together and allowing us through her writing to be able to walk hand in hand. You know, Charlotte's now become an entity of on her own.
For real.
You know, she really is established and in some ways leads me, the actress, you know, as well as I lead her. I very much kind of wanted to create that openness for her to do that, to be able to stand. And I think because of her character as well, you know, and that's in the writing as well as me playing, that she is a standalone, you know, woman who knows exactly what she wants. She's unapologetic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know.
You seem to always just show up in such a very, like, completely all there kind of way, even if, you know, like, it can't touch you through the screen. I was wondering if you had any, if similarly you worked with the costume.
You know, in Bridgerton, I have a lot of collaboration because we have time to work on the wigs and stuff. And we have lots and lots of fittings. We had that on Charlotte as well. And I'm very much involved in that kind of stuff and how how things are put on my head and the weight of things and, or, you know, all of that. So, yes, there is a collaboration okay. there. Charlotte needs to be able to walk. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? She yeah. has a certain way of like.
She sure does. Yeah.
She's like going. So that you need to be in taken into consideration. Shoes are a big thing to me. I like my shoes to be on my feet. I don't like any kind of slippage or anything like that. If I feel like I'm unbalanced already with the wigs and, you know, the size of the costume. Mm. So my feet need to be in those shoes. Like they need to be part of me. Mm. So those are the only kind of things that I collaborate on for the costume. But yeah, mainly the wig stuff is I find that really interesting, especially using like dreadlocks and textured hair and plaits and all of that. Trying to get all of that stuff in is really, really important.
You wore a lot more black this time too.
Yeah, which I think is really interesting because Charlotte is very much, it's very personal, isn't it? The show, it's very intimate.
Yeah.
And I think with that intimacy, the color palette had to change, you know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we drew the curtain over the windows a little bit to kind of create that personal, that private.
Oh, I
you know,
love that.
At the beginning, she's grieving the death of her granddaughter. But there was a conscious decision to change that palette so it wasn't as vibrant as Bridgerton, you know? We were seeing her as a woman, as a mother, you know, we were seeing her private life. So those curtains had to be drawn a little bit just to take out that light.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I found that really interesting, but yet it was still beautiful.
It was.
It's still lush and, you know, really, it's still vibrant there. It's, you know, but yet the personal is it just tinged a little darker.
It definitely did.
Yeah.
And I was amazed at how in your funeral gown, I was still able to see so much detail, all the yeah. beading and the shimmery. And it was black, but there was yeah. nothing that I couldn't see. It was
yeah,
amazing.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I'm very honored to wear those.
Wow. You know, it's so funny you brought up shoes. Lynn Paolo was talking about how she absolutely loved working on the shoes for this
yeah.
show. And it's too bad we didn't get to see more of
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
Did you have any favorite pieces or anything?
My favorite pieces are my Ugg boots when I'm sitting down. Fun fact, whenever the queen is sitting down, she's in Ugg boots. Let me reveal that right now. Any form of comfort Golda Rocheville can get while playing this part, I will go there. So know this, world. Ugg boots.
That is... So wait.
Yeah, true. It's true.
I now I'm wondering if they're... So, okay. I'm trying to think of... Oh, so that scene where you are having tea with Lady Danbury, played Ugg by boots. Ajwa Ando, Ugg boots.
Ugg boots. I'm always like, when I'm sitting down, I'm always like, can you see my feet? Can you see my feet? Are you going down there? Where's the camera?
Yeah.
Mate, you gotta get it where you can get it. I'm telling you.
I will now look at the tea scene in the greenhouse completely differently.
Yeah, and the one where my kids are telling me off.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting down, Ugg boots.
Oh, that reminds me, Golda. A little birdie well, told me that you and Hugh Sachs have a very special relationship yeah. on and off set. And I've got to tell you, the two of you on screen just... mind-blowing, magical.
Oh my God. He's amazing.
You two, he is, and the both of you together, there are a few scenes where man, it really stops everyone in their tracks. And so I'm really curious about your perspective on some of these scenes and what was going through the Queen's mind, and also how you and Hugh work together. I think listeners would love to hear how the sauce is made, because you are so thoughtful.
Yeah. So Hugh and I, you rightly say, we are best mates on and off the screen. Like when I knew him, we kind of knew of each other. So at like, you know, events or theatre events or whatever, if I saw him, it would be like, you know, a nice kind of polite nod and how are you kind of thing. But then getting to work with him was something really, really special. He is just phenomenal. And, you know, in Bridgerton, like he's one of our biggest actors over here. But yet, you know, he took this part that had no words, no lines. But yet, you know, in Bridgerton, we worked so hard on that relationship. You know, what is the silence between them? How is the silence filled with the knowledge of these two people, with the friendship of these two people, with the dedication, you know? She needs him as much as he needs her. And how are we going to portray that in the silence? You know, the most that he says in Bridgerton is, "Yes, Your Majesty." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but a whole lot with that face, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So how do you portray that, you know? And then coming to Queen Charlotte and him being able to speak for the first time, and the scene where he tells me, you know, about my daughters and them not getting married, and then I get upset and tell him to go and stand over there and look the other way.
You are still his queen. Forever frozen, forever waiting. Your daughters could not leave you here, trapped in time.
Go and stand over there and stop talking. Look that way, not at me.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Yes, it's a funny scene. We cried. Because that was the first time that he had spoken more than, "Yes, Your Majesty." And it was so overwhelming for both of us. You know, it was like, we've wanted this for so long. You know, it kind of felt like the lid had been lifted off this relationship, this emotion that was so deep and so passionate for these two characters. And yeah, we just started weeping.
Yeah.
And he was so beautiful and he did it so amazingly well. It was just like, oh my God. You know, and we held each other and yeah, really, really moving. I mean, we are quite naughty as well on set. We do, we laugh a lot. Hugh is very good at making up sketch shows, but yeah, he has a penchant for sketch shows. So whenever we are waiting for action, or you know, he has me crying
like a one man reenactment of
one man. Yeah. He's like one man band, man. He's one. Yeah, absolutely. But also, you know, he's been there for me. You know, it was, you know, in the tough times at the beginning when everything kind of blew up and we weren't able to kind of reach out to people because we were, you know, the pandemic and so on, and we were doing lots of kind of Zoom things. And it was kind of the blow up of Bridgerton was kind of happening outside, you know, so it was quite lonely. And he was part of our bubble because he was on his own. So he joined our bubble. So it was really nice to kind of have him there and, you know, for the two of us to kind of go through it together. And we would meet in a park and kind of discuss it all. And because he literally lives up the road from me.
Oh, yeah.
So in those times, you know, it was really, he was such a good, good friend. And he continues to be so. But yeah, I'm so pleased he's getting his moment, you know.
What I'm hearing you say is, you know, you're able to just be when you are around this person.
Yeah.
And definitely. And I feel like that is maybe what Queen Charlotte is also able to do. She's able to just be around Brimsley. Yeah. maybe to a fault, because in that you said it was funny, and it was a little funny in the same way sorrow's prayer of sorrows is funny. Like Queen Charlotte, that's so mean.
Exactly.
But that scene was, I felt sad for Queen Charlotte in that moment. If you could just take us back to that, just describe, why is the mirror important in that scene?
That's a very interesting question. And I'm only coming at it, riffing on it now. But I think what's interesting about the mirror is she goes off about, you know, they're not treating my children aren't treating me good. They're not talking to me very nicely. I'm a good mother. And I think what the audience is meant to see or meant to feel is that reflection. You know, when people reflect things back at you, I think it's a really interesting way of her kind of not seeing herself, the truth of who she is, you know?
Yeah.
And also I think it's really lovely that she's taking off jewelry, you know, and that coming back to self, taking off the facade, taking off the layers.
Right.
And kind of coming back to self in that moment where your soul is reflected at you, but you're not seeing it. You choose not to see it.
And that is perfect for my mind, because I feel like in that moment also, Queen Charlotte was choosing not to see the obvious answer to the question she asked Brimsley in that moment. Like, you never fell in love. You never got married. Like, duh, Queen Charlotte. Yeah. What do you think? He's with you all the time. So that makes sense to me.
I think there's something in that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You also had really special moments with the King George under the bed.
James,
you and India and Corey and James Fleet. Do you have any special thoughts or memories from that scene before?
Oh my God, absolutely. I have loads, loads and loads and loads. But what I can tell you is, first and foremost, that was a James and my scene with kind of stage directions of flashing back. It was Tom Verica's vision to film it that way. The man is a genius. It was his vision and only him. And I remember him saying, you know, we're going to get Corey and India to learn the lines and we're just going to play. I was like, yeah, man, I'm down. Brilliant. Absolutely. Yeah, I have no idea what you're going to do, but yes, yes, yes. All of the yeses, because I trust him complicitly. So on the day, it was really beautiful. And James is one of these actors. I mean, he's been around for many years. He's an absolute professional and he can just lock in straight away. He knows exactly what to do. So it's really nice to be able, because we don't see each other all that much, you know? So, you know, when I come through the door and I say George and I tell him, and he turns to me and I tell him about the kids.
Yeah. Oh, you're so excited too.
Yeah. And I realized that he's not with me. Like James, it's so easy. It's lovely. It's great. It's brilliant. You know, you can do your work when the guy looks at you and is like, so in character, but yet so joined with you as an actor.
Mm.
It's brilliant. It's really good. And then, you know, we get under the bed. And James is a very funny man. He's also hilarious. So we'll be chatting and we're under the bed and, you know, how are you? And he loves his motorbikes and stuff. And, oh, yes, I rode my motorbike here today. And I'm like, oh, great. Blah, chat, chat, chat. Okay, and action. In it. He's in it.
Just George. Farmer George. Hide from the heavens with me.
Charlotte. Why, hello.
Hello, George.
It is quiet here.
George, we have succeeded. Our son, Edward, he has married and his wife is with child.
Edward is going to be a father?
Yes. Your line will live on.
Our line.
Our line.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's so thrilling.
Is it freeing?
It's so freeing because I trust that actor will give me what I want, but also that what he does and how he works inspires me to give him what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was so great. And then, you know, you get Tom was in the other room at Video Village, and you get, okay, Golder, you come out and let's get India in. So I shuffle out of the bed. Underneath the bed.
Is it a high bed? Like, what? How are you even doing this?
No, I'm in full wig, mm-mm, full costume. It's hilarious. I mean, they should have videoed it actually, kind of behind the scenes, you know, and I kind of, you shuffle, you wiggle, and the guys help me up because it's hard to get up, you know, with the wigs and everything. And then India gets in and they do the scene. And then, you know, Tom's like, okay, James, you come out. Corey, you go in. And it was literally like that. And I said to Tom, I said, I want to be in the editing room, man, when you edit this scene, because is like, what is going on? But it was so beautiful and glorious to be in an environment that is created by a director like Tom that you can just play.
Bingo. I thought it was a really interesting way to think about love and loss, because the loss there is, you know, George is not fully himself. So to say, I'm saying with quote marks, so there's like a sense of loss there. I think of like people who have lost people to dementia or Alzheimer's. Yeah. It's like that similar kind of grief. Someone is still with you, but you're still grieving them.
Yeah.
I felt that was a really special way to depict loss in Queen Charlotte. And, you know, it's just not really seen often.
Yeah, and I think there's a really beautiful scene that connects that, you know, which is the first scene with India and Corey where Charlotte comes out into the garden and she sees him mad for the first time, but she chooses to take him in her arms.
Yes.
And cares for him.
Yes.
Right? And cares for him right up until the time I open that door and go under the bed with him.
Yes.
That journey.
I'm going to throw my computer. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That journey from that moment to the woman you see in Bridgerton is all of the understanding of that woman. Do you know what I mean? The audience and the fans, I hope, make that connection. And go, oh my God, wow, this from that moment that India embraces him and chooses to become his carer. I never really understood in sickness and in health till death us do part. I never understood it before until that moment. And then you join the dots and the journey to the end scene.
Yeah. Did you and India have any heart-to-hearts about Queen Charlotte? Because it's in many, many depictions of a queen and opulence and opportunity, it can get lost. It certainly isn't lost this time.
I don't own this role. I really don't. Yes, I'm the OG, but I wanted to give her Charlotte and for her to make Charlotte her own. You know, you can't put anything on Charlotte. You know, you can't kind of say, oh, you must do this, you must do that, you must have this look, or you must have this walk, or whatever. Charlotte does, she won't allow that. You need to be, you need to take her and make her your own, you know, because she stands firm in who you are. She stands firm in how unapologetic you are. For me, it was all about supporting India in her journey with this character. So in terms of that chat, it didn't go that way. It didn't go that way.
I'm here for it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She took it and made it her own, you know, and I think that's, it's beautiful. And somehow in that, and I think that's why, you know, people are saying, oh my God, it's such a good fit. You guys are you know, you look the same, the action, all of that. I think that's why she, you know, we allowed her to take it and run with it and make mm-hmm. it her own and celebrate her as an artist within this character.
Yes. She tapped in, she clocked in.
Yeah, and, she did.
And found her essence. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what people are reacting to that.
Yeah. She found her essence. I like that. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah. Well, Golda Rochevelle, I can't say enough to thank you for your time today, for the performance you just left for us on screen. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
And that concludes our episode with the incredible Golda and India, the talented actresses behind the captivating Queen Charlotte. We are very grateful for their presence and their artistry and for charming us with their warmth and their grace. Queen Charlotte absolutely resonates deeply with audiences worldwide. And it's no wonder why, after speaking with the two of them, they bring an openness and a grace to the role that only people of a special sort carry. It's a light that they carry that comes through that we're watching, and we're witnessing that. These are actresses that have not only written their own narratives, but have also enriched our lives through this narrative Shonda Rhimes wrote, and they delivered that to us. So we are forever grateful for this moment in time where we can experience it. I wonder what people are going to say in 20 years about their depiction of Queen Charlotte. Anyway, again, a heartfelt thanks for their time. On the next episode.
No, there's this amazing moment for me when she asks, as an you know, older Queen Charlotte, she asks Brimsley, why did you never marry?
Yep, Shonda Rhimes. Come on back. Queen Charlotte, the official podcast, is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Lauren Homan, Alex Alche, Tyler Klang, and me, Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Tari Harrison. Subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your favorite shows. Get the book. I'm a crispy turn the page, smell the binding kind of queen, but you can download it. And you can find Queen Charlotte, A Bridgerton Story on Netflix. We'll see you next week. Queen Charlotte, the official podcast, is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified, diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.